This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. A big Monday show coming your way today. We've got John Clayton at 4 o'clock, as we do every day. Paul Calvisi, who covers the Cardinals, is going to join us at 5 o'clock. They've got a little drama brewing out there, which is always delightful to see. So we'll see, get deeper into that conversation, get a little preview of the Cardinals as we are days away from training camp getting underway for your Seattle Seahawks, of which we will be there each and every day, I believe, that they're there.
So I think so.
That seems to be the word. And then Daniel Kramer, who covers the Mariners for MLB.com, will join us at 5:30, talk about some of the rumors we're hearing about players they may be interested in and what's reality, what's just rumor. So there's a lot swirling around teams right now. Some moves being made, a lot of rumors, you know, for every team out there for the most part, whether they're sellers or buyers. So
Daniel Kramer does a great job.
Yeah, does a really good job. So he'll be with us at 5:30 and we'll sift through all of that.
Word is you were hanging out with celebrities over the weekend.
Indirectly, yeah. I went to I went to Cage Sport out at the new Emerald Queen Casino, which, by the way, if you've not seen the new casino, it is really nice. It's like a Vegas casino. And then
you're a big gambler, right?
Not even a little bit. I did not bet a dollar. I'm a terrible gambler. I'm a terrible loser. I don't enjoy losing.
Don't like losing.
I just not a. Yeah, I don't handle it well. So I don't do it. And then this was the first event of any kind, music, sports, other anything, in their new showroom, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. So, yeah. So, they, Brian Hallquist, great guy, always gets me the cage side seat. So, we're sitting there on the apron, and directly across from me on the other side of the cage was KJ Wright. And I was looking at, because he had his mask on at first, and I was going, boy, that looks like KJ. And I kept
obviously he wasn't standing up.
No, he wasn't. He was sitting.
Otherwise, you would have noticed the legs and arms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then he took his mask down to take a drink of water, and I'm like, yep, that's KJ. And then later on in the night, they brought him up into the cage and asked him, you know, hey, what's going on? So are you coming back to the Seahawks? And his response was something along the lines of, well, ask Pete and John.
Yeah.
You know, kind of. And he sat there and he took pictures with everybody after the event was done. And just to show you the difference between true celebrity and just being another guy, there was a fight that was a little bloody. And often when somebody's bleeding, whether it's a nose or a cut, if they're up against the cage and they get punched, much like sweat flying, the blood will fly. So it splatters your table. It can splatter you, which it did. That fight went to both sides of the cage. So his side got splattered as well. So you see, after the fight, you've got employees there running over to him with a squirt bottle and a towel, and they're handing him the Clorox wipes, and they're just going above and beyond. They're basically wiping him off, and he's right. Just kind of hanging out, and they're doing all this. And we're on the other side just kind of looking like, oh, so they'll make their way around. And
No. Got nothing.
They just went right there and beelined it out of there. We all sat there like, hey, does somebody have a napkin or something? I'm going to go wash my hands, and I'll be right back. You know. So
did you really have blood splattered on you?
Yeah.
I would think that would freak you out.
I don't like it. It's happened before because I've done play-by-play for them a few times when they've done some TV broadcasts.
So you just probably get used to it if you're covering this sport.
Well, what I did learn is I don't wear light shirts there anymore because I had a blazer on and not this time, but when I was doing play-by-play, I had a white button-up shirt underneath, and it looked like somebody took a paintbrush and just flicked it on me. So, yeah, I learned to wear dark shirts after that. But it was funny to see how they just rushed to attention, wiping his table down, wiping him down, giving him wipes and all this stuff. And we're all on the other side going, okay, I guess they'll get here eventually. But they didn't. So, no, it was a great event, though. And it was cool to see KJ out there. And
every time you say his name, my heart just kind of sinks until they sign him.
He is loved, man. I'm telling you, he stood there after the event was done and people are filing out, and he stood there for a good, looked like 15, 20 minutes just taking pictures with people and signing, and, you know, just a good dude. Just an all-around good dude.
So you got blood splattered on you. I went crabbing, first time I've ever done that. Corey Myron, who owns him and his awesome fiance Tammy, they have a big boat, and they drop some crab pots. So I killed some crab.
Did you?
Yeah, over the weekend. And then we
snap some limbs on a crab?
Yeah, you grab the legs, and then you hit the top of the shell. so it pops off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you just throw the rest in the water, kind of wring it out, crack it in half.
They're alive when this is going on?
Yeah.
Oh.
My wife wasn't too happy about it.
It'd be kind of rough.
Yeah. But and then we got a pickleballer. Say again?
Do they make noise?
No.
There's no
there's no, no.
Squealing, screeching of any sort?
No, nothing like that.
Ow, damn!
Yeah.
Nothing. Okay.
And then we got a pickleballer. Mike, how'd you do in your tournament?
Have to rock the shirt, yeah. Played a decent to good pickleball this weekend.
Yeah.
Not so, Chris Egan level pickleball.
Saw Egan out there.
He dominated.
Did you see the video?
Did he dominate?
He played really well. He was in the highest level, like the open slash pro division. And there's some highlights floating around of him. So there are some videos of me not doing as well. Doing pretty good, but not as well.
But he dominated, huh?
Well, he won two matches in the open division, which is like legitimate pros who travel around and make money playing this sport. And he won two matches.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for Egan. Did you ever hear this clip of Egan doing a live report from like a rib contest?
Paul, we got ribs, we got hot dogs, we got... Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you introduce yourself to him?
Yeah.
Lefko, I'm telling you, Egan is one of the great guys that you'll ever meet. And I know you've worked with him, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
At the famous Phone Zone, spelled with an F.
Yep, yep.
Yep, and where they had sound effects and about 10 people watching. And
from parts unknown.
They would call in. Yeah, usually like Hump Tulips or someplace in
Union,
Idaho.
Washington. Just cities I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they often had a few by that point.
We had a lady one time say, well, I didn't see the game. I was vacuuming, but I hear from what I understand. And then Egan would always, whatever they said, he would say, well, that's a really good point you make there. Oh, really? That she was vacuuming?
She was vacuuming. Yeah. Astute point by you.
He's just one of the nicest guys and one of the funniest guys that I've been around in this business.
It's amazing how many people would get through and just be absolutely toasted. Just, I've been a Seahawks fan since 1978, and go Hawks! And that's the call.
All right,
thank you. Thank you, Ray and Union. Yeah, it was that was always an entertaining show. So anyway.
But Egan made it fun.
Yeah, he did. He's a good guy. Let me just give you one more. People love this.
Paul, we got ribs, we got hot dogs, we got... Oh, my goodness, that
pot. It was like a tailgate, I think.
Hey, something like that, yeah. And he reached down to grab it. so good. The video's even better. There's a video of it floating around out there, but just absolute gold. All right, so everybody had a good weekend, including the Mariners. How about the Mariners taking 3 of 4 from the team directly in front of them in the wild card race? Obviously, they're in the same division, but now we're looking at the wild card because it feels like the Astros will run away with the division. So your focus is on the wild card, and you pulled to within a game and a half of the Oakland A's. You take 3 of 4. And more importantly, you knock out the big mouth, the guy who was talking smack about this team the first time they met, saying, you know, what did he say? Do we have that cut here?
Cole Irvin?
Yeah. I want to find that because.
All right. You're pulling a Dave and jumping ahead.
I know,
yes,
but it's just,
it is.
Let me fill some time here, though.
No,
quick while you find it.
No, it's right.
It's cut 6.
I got it.
Yeah.
But okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, he's with Philadelphia. I was making the point that being an Oakland A turns people into jerks.
Yeah.
And he was with Philadelphia, and now he's with Oakland, and he's popping off.
Really, a team like that, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of weak contact and some swings that, you know, ended up being hits. But I think at the end of the day, you know, just pitch execution needs to be a lot better, and a team like that should not be putting up 10 hits against me or anyone. I mean, I'm extremely disappointed in my efforts tonight.
Wow, a team like that, they shouldn't do that against me or anyone. I mean, those are shots fired. And then you fast forward, and everybody was anticipating it, and the Mariners were asked about it, and they downplayed it, like, oh, I didn't even know he said anything and all of that. So we were all watching, and he gets knocked out after 4 innings, and it was just delightful. And then I started trolling him on Twitter.
Nice.
And I tagged him, and I just said, oh, no, Cole Irvin, how did you only last 4 innings against a team like the Mariners? It's a real mystery. And then 25 people retweeted it. So if you're on Twitter, retweet it. He's tagged in it. That means it'll go to his inbox, if you will, his notifications on Twitter. And he doesn't have a ton of followers, so he's going
to
see it.
Yeah, go to Bob's Twitter and get this done.
Yeah,
if you're
retweet
on the Twitter.
That one. If you're on the Twitter, at Bob Stelton. But, yeah, it was fun to sort of troll him and make sure he sees that. Because, listen, and I mean, I'm having fun with it there, but for him to say something like that, even if you're looking at a team, which at the time is not a good hitting team, the Mariners. So I get his perspective. Probably not a smart idea to say, team like that shouldn't be doing that to me. Or they shouldn't do that to anybody. You know you're going to face them again. They're in your division. Not smart. And he paid the price. That's karma.
Yeah. You know how we said that Canna has a punchable face?
Yeah.
This guy has a punchable voice.
Yeah.
He just sounded whiny in that whole thing there. It was just, yeah, or anybody else. It was terrible. So it was, yeah, that was awesome. The other thing I would point out is that Lefko says, when we're at Edgar's, we're undefeated. I missed one, but we're undefeated.
Not just Edgar's. The whole season.
Well,
Fridays all year.
Oh, Fridays.
Fridays.
Yeah, because we did a Thursday show out there.
Yep.
One time. And so that was Kelnick
and Gilbert's debut.
And Gilbert.
It's the only time they've lost and we've been out there.
Also, we talked to Cal Raleigh, and he had a monster game that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he crushed a 444. Was that night? Or
444. Yeah.
444. I think he had a beautiful throw to Ty France to get somebody caught
stealing.
Threw
out a runner at second.
Yep.
It was clearly a result of our conversation.
Yeah.
And we've gotten six more retweets. Seven. I love it. He's going to see this. And he needs to see it. He needs to be humbled, that Cole Irvin. We've had incredible luck out there. And what an awesome weekend. For any of you listening that were out there, you can text in 710-710 to the Mac and Jack's text line. It sounded electric. It looked like it was just, I mean, they had great attendance, first of all. The crowds were great. But just the electricity and seeing how much people were so invested, right? It wasn't like, hey, it's a sunny day. Let's just go hang at the park and hopefully they win. And no, it was like a playoff game. People were just hanging on the edge of their seats. The building sounded incredibly loud. And then watching the reaction of the players after the games and just seeing how much it meant to them. Seeing Kelnick got sprayed right in the mouth with the baby powder. Did you see the slow-mo of that?
Yeah.
He scores the winning run on the wild pitch, and he's celebrating. He's got his mouth open, and right as he jumps into, I don't know whose arms he was jumping into, his mouth is wide open, and here comes Ty France with the bottle of baby powder right in the face, in his mouth, and just the celebration and the joy and seeing how much it meant to those guys. That was awesome.
Well, and down at the ballpark, they flashed the lights, you know, on and off, and everybody was going crazy. I mean, that was so exciting. And, you know, a couple of there was a wild pitch that Moore scored on, and, you know, it was just a lot of things happened in that series. It was really fun. Usually it's kind of boring against the A's, you know, they kind of nickel and dime you. But, you know, what about Haniger's night? I mean, is that the best game that any Mariner has had, you know, so far?
He should have had
season.
Three home runs in that game. He missed that first home run by just a couple of feet. They almost all went in exactly the same spot, too.
Right.
And I love that the outfielder got upset. He looked like he got mad thinking that the fan took it from him on the first home run, which he didn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to catch that anyway when you saw the replay. But he was mad, and then he hits one a little further, which he had no shot at, in basically the same area. I mean, he's on fire. Here's his two-run home run from Saturday night.
Now the set by Bassett. And here comes the 2-2 on the way. Swinging a drive again. Deep center field. Laureano going back, looking up. Goodbye baseball to the batter's eye. Straightaway center. Mitch Haniger does it again. A long bomb into straightaway center field. Second home run of the night. He has three runs batted in. And the Mariners now lead the A's. It's the Mariners 4 and Oakland 3. And what a night for Mitch Haniger.
He's one off of his career high of 26, and we're in July.
It's amazing.
He's got 25 home runs, 62 runs driven in, hitting .265 with a .322 on base percentage.
And he's been out for, what, a year and a half?
Essentially.
Basically 2 years. I mean,
didn't play at all. He only played 63 games in 2019, didn't play at all last year in 2020.
It's amazing what he's done. And it's still, you know how we know, you always talk about Tom Murphy with his little ritual.
Where he squats at the plate.
The one thing that I always look at whenever you see a slow motion replay of Mitch Haniger is that his front foot, his ankle turns all the way over. Like he's resting on the side of his foot. I don't know how. I mean, he's incredibly flexible. And I know he worked a lot on his flexibility. I don't remember if he did that before or not, but still, that gets me every time. But he is just so quiet about it, you know, and he doesn't express a lot of emotions. He's just a solid rock, and I think we're taking it for granted. Going into the season, I thought he was going to be the guy that was the most, would be, you know, the most interesting to watch, you know, to see if he's able to complete this comeback. It's an unbelievable story, considering what he's been through and missing that much baseball. To come back and have the kind of season that he's having right now is just, it's remarkable.
But how fun was it to watch? Whether you were there in person or at home on the couch, and you just see it, you feel it, you feel the electricity. And that is cool. That is cool. We'll see what the season comes to. I mean, you've got 62, you've played 100 games. You're 8 games over 500 after 100. You're the best you've been all year record-wise after 100 games. This isn't, hey, first month, we're 13-2, we're this. You've played 100 games, and you're 8 games over. You have not been better record-wise this year than you are currently right now with just 62 left to play. It just it brings a different level of intensity and focus and excitement as a fan. You have hope. Now you're talking to, now I'm reading all the rumors. All right, this guy, this team's looking at this guy, and this team's looking at this guy, and the Mariners are reportedly interested in this. You're just invested instead of, you know, what, if we're being honest, most years you're like, all right, when does training camp start? Mm-hmm. When does training camp start? Because this team's already fallen off. They're you know, 10 games under 500. They're going to, you know, trade this guy, trade that guy. Now you're in the thick of it, and you're seeing, you know, there's always that worry in the beginning of a season. Is this real? Is it fool's gold? Or are they just off again? 13-2. We talked about that. That team ended up, I think I looked after 100 games, they were 20 below 500. I think they were exactly opposite of where they are now almost. It's just they got off to that tremendous start and just the wheels came off. And to see a team now after 100 games, this is who they are. They're a team that wins close games. They don't blow anybody out. They win these close games. And then when they lose, they tend to get their butt kicked, which explains their run differential. Mm-hmm. It hasn't really changed. I think it's still minus 52. It's always, you know, 51, 54, 50. It just kind of fluctuates right in there because they're the best in baseball in one-run games, these close games. It's just what they do. They don't pile up the runs, or rarely do. And then, like we said, often they've had some really lopsided losses that give you that run differential. And when they win games, these are all one-run games in this series.
Yeah. Well, and that's, yeah, somebody called him on Twitter. I don't know, was it Cole Irvin? Called him clutchy or something like that. Was talking about, maybe it was somebody responding to him. But
yeah. He hasn't tweeted since I've been trolling him. I'm waiting. And by the way, we've gotten 9 more retweets, so he's going to see it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want him to wear that.
We want him to see. Hopefully he'll respond.
But, you know, and I was listening to Stacy and Salk today talk about, you know, and I agree with what Mike was saying that, you know, you talk about Scott and the job that Service is doing this year. And the guy I always think of, and I sound like a broken record, but Luis Torrens, in the last 27 games that he's played, and this is since he's been called up, the guy's got one double, but 10 home runs, 19 RBIs. He's batting .275. I mean, I just didn't see that.
Nobody saw it.
Yeah. So he did, though. He knew something. So, I mean, he's made some good moves, putting people in the right position. You know, and being a good coach, and I know that's another thing they were talking about, it's like, to me, it's getting the most out of your players. That's job number one. You know, how do you manage your guys? And a lot of times it's about personalities, you know, and whether or not, you know, somebody's going to be able to handle something that you give them, which is why I thought it was kind of curious that they had Kelnick start off as the leadoff batter when they brought him up. I thought there was something to that. But, yeah, you've got to give him a lot of credit for that, too. Just so much fun over the weekend. Every one of those games was exciting to watch.
Here's your guy.
Torrens, a right-handed hitter, stands deep in the box, holds the bat high and steady. Now the 2-2. Swing and a ground ball skips into left field for a base hit. France scores easily from third. Meanwhile, Seager advances to second. Luis Torrens stings a run-scoring single to left, and he has put the Mariners in front with 2 outs. It's now 3-2.
Just clutch, making the plays, taking advantage of mistakes, and just a great weekend of baseball.
Yeah, what a series, huh? Exciting baseball. Doesn't really get much better than that against a real quality opponent. And I can't say enough of the grit, the effort, whatever you want to throw out. Our guys showed up and played their tails off all weekend. And, you know, today's game, to hang in there with a little bit shorter bullpen than normal, you know, heck of an effort. Couldn't be any more proud of our guys.
Couldn't be. Just a great weekend, and hopefully it continues. Now you got the Astros. You don't want this series to go for naught. You got to represent here. You got to step up and do some things. Not that you're going to catch Houston, but you know, you don't want this to go by the wayside because you you drop three to Houston, and now you're 4.5 behind the A's again, assuming they win. So we'll see what they can get done. We'll talk about that series. Right now, let's take two.
A lot of NFL stuff going on. Training camps, well, some have opened, some open this week, but Colts head coach Frank Reich tests positive for COVID-19, so he's going to miss at least the start of training camp. But he is vaccinated and asymptomatic, so under the new NFL protocols, Reich can come back to the team after just two negative tests within 24 hours apart.
Yeah, you're seeing this, I mean, not just in sports, but you're just seeing it throughout society. People that have been vaccinated, it doesn't eliminate you from catching it. That was never the thing. What it's supposed to do is keep you from getting really, really ill, ending up on a ventilator. And it's good to hear that he's asymptomatic, that he didn't even know he had it. And he's presumably in good shape and hopefully back out there.
Yeah, well, but it's going to take him 2 days to get back. So, I mean, what if he's tier one? I think they're getting tested every day.
Tier one?
Yeah, tier one.
So. Yeah, yes. So, you know, I mean, in a situation like this, do you think they maybe ease the restriction a little bit? Or, you know, because, I mean, let's say it happens on a, you know, a Friday or a Saturday, and then he can't coach the game, you know, so, and I think they're getting tested every day. So, I don't know, it's almost like it's safer than it was last year.
Yeah.
But you may end up having guys miss more games. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, they'll learn enough to get a handle on this so that, you know, that's really a bummer for him. You know, he'd been fully vaccinated, didn't, you know, it was fine, just walked in there. I got tested today and, you know, they send you a little notice 30 minutes later. And yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird thing, and it's too bad for him because, you know, you got to be with your players. I mean, that's tough for the Colts, who the Seahawks open up with this year.
Well, and in college football, the world's kind of turned upside down. Texas and Oklahoma officially informed the Big 12 today that they will not renew the conference's grant of rights. That kind of locks all the teams in when that deal expires in 2025. Then the Big 12 came out with a statement saying basically that their 8 remaining members are disappointed but are prepared to move forward without these two teams.
Feels like it's almost a done deal. I know it's not. There's still a lot to be done there. And I read, you know, earlier that they're going to have to pay between $75 and $80 million each in order to leave early before the 2020, before the deal's done. And if they do that, that just tells you how much money they are expecting to be in store for them. No school, no institution is going to take a financial loss like that over anything other than the idea that we're going to make even more than that by making this move.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it kind of makes me wonder about the remaining, which it's always weird to me, Big 12, there's 10 teams. Yeah. Pac-12 is the only one that's appropriately named, I think. But yeah, I mean, the 8 remaining teams, I mean, there's some good programs there, like Oklahoma State, that they put out a lot of guys in the NFL and everything. I wonder if that's going to affect them. I mean, if you're one of those fans or... I mean, are you, I guess nationally, if it's Texas or Oklahoma and you live in Maine or whatever, you know, maybe you're more likely to tune in than, you know, if it's Texas Tech versus Kansas State or something.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, but it feels like, man, this is all but a done deal. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, the Mariners are doing their window shopping, but there is a guy who might entice the M's to make a purchase. We'll tell you who we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We got the professor coming up at 4 o'clock today. We'll talk some NFL with him. A lot happening in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers news. Chandler Jones news. You got all kinds of things going on as camps are getting underway or about to get underway. So we will get into that with him at 4 o'clock. But as I mentioned, there are rumors out there. There are, you know, this team's looking at this guy. This team's looking at this guy. And when it comes to the Mariners, what I saw over the weekend from a few different people is that the Mariners are making a push for Royals second baseman / outfielder Whit Merrifield, who's nice player. You look at him, he's not owed a ton of money in baseball dollars. He's owed around $10 million over the next two seasons under contract, under control for through 2023. Thing is, he's 32 years old, so he's not a young guy. He's not a power hitter. He's got 8 home runs. He's hitting 272. He does steal bases, leads Major League Baseball with 25 stolen bases. He's driven in 52. He's got 28 walks. So, you know, I'm not going to pretend I watch Royals baseball every day. You just look at his numbers and go, okay, it looks like he's a nice player. 32, I'm wondering what they'd have to give up. This is the part about being buyers, is that we're all looking at what are they going to add? Who are they going to bring in? Who's going to occupy this spot? And then you kind of forget, oh, yeah, they're going to have to give up something. And hopefully it's some lower-level prospects. It's not anybody we've been talking about day in, day out. I don't think that would be required for somebody like this. But if they perhaps get into a competition or get into a bidding war, if you will, for another player that they you know, whether it's a starter, you're going to be parting with somebody or some prospect that you had a level of attachment to.
Yeah, he is. The one thing I'd say, though, about, you said he's 32.
Yeah.
He's still stealing bases at a pretty high rate.
And he's leading baseball.
I mean, yeah, so, I mean, his speed is good. But, you know, it was kind of funny. We talked about this the other day over the weekend. There was a couple of times with Dylan Moore at second base where it was like, you know, and we were saying going into that series that there's been nothing really glaring,
mm-hmm.
But you know, there was a couple of things with Dylan Moore. So, yeah, I guess, yeah, this was. I would rather see pitching, though. I mean, like if you're gonna make a move, make it a pitcher, make it somebody that to me that's going to help you a lot more than getting a guy like Whit Merrifield to play second base.
But he does address two of the things that Jerry said they were looking for. He had listed three things, I think, when he was on with the guys in the morning, and he had talked about somebody for the rotation, talked about a right-handed bat, and talked about a second baseman. So he kills two birds with one stone, being a right-handed bat and a second baseman. So he addresses two of those, and it doesn't mean that the starter is not a priority or they're not still in, you know, talks with other teams or have their eyes on starters. I absolutely believe. I don't think they're going out for, you're not getting an ace. You're not getting, you know, Scherzer's not coming here. You're not getting somebody like that. But I could see them going after somebody who's just a solid 3-4, somebody like that. Somebody who's down in the rotation, but just as a solid piece that can be here and chew up some innings. Because, frankly, your starters have not been going very deep for the most part. And this bullpen has been lights out. You got to give them a break. You got it. They've been out there a lot. You've been putting a lot on the backs of this bullpen, and it would be nice to see the starters start to get deeper into games and get some help. Bring in somebody who can, you know, keep you in the game. You're just number four starter, something along those lines. I can see that happening. But I just think when you're looking at a player like this, yeah, he's got speed. Dylan Moore's got, what, 15 stolen bases for basically a part-time player. He doesn't play every day.
Right.
So you've got speed already with J.P. Crawford, other players like that, but that's an element that's great. Again, he addresses two of the three things that Jerry talked about in being a right-handed bat and being a second baseman.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you had a choice and there was an equivalent pitcher.
I'd take the pitcher.
Yeah.
Without question.
Right.
It's a much more pressing need. There are a couple of gaffes from Dylan Moore at second base. He's still hitting below 200. It's not what you want. He's not your everyday guy. I like him on the roster. I think he's got value as a utility guy. Shed Long has sort of just become your de facto left fielder. You know, he and Bowers are rotating out. You know, they're just part of a rotation. You don't have your second baseman on this roster. We've talked about that for a while now. And I don't know if it was Blowers or Ryan Roland-Smith felt like Dylan could be that guy. He just hasn't shown it yet. He hasn't shown it. So that tells you if they're interested in somebody like Whit Merrifield, they don't feel like they've got their everyday second baseman on the roster either. So he does address needs, but if we're saying it's one or the other, which I don't think it is, I think it's in addition to a starter, you're going to go – rotation is much more of a pressing need at this point.
Yeah, I wonder how close – I mean, you look at San Diego, I sort of thought they were done. They went and got Adam Frazier.
That was a guy that people were saying, hey, the Mariners could be looking at him. They should be looking at him. He'd fit nicely here. Yeah, Padres are going for it.
Yeah, yeah, and so I think people are maybe trying to get, maybe getting a little bit antsy about that. Like, hey, why aren't we? Didn't we hear the clip from Kyle Seager during the commercial there?
I think we got it right here.
You know, at some point, it has to be about winning. You know, that's the goal of, you know, baseball. You're not, you know, you don't necessarily always want to be playing for, you know, rebuilds and doing those sort of stuff. Especially, you know, me, you know, kind of where I'm at. You know, I want to be playing for something, you know, bigger than myself. I want to be playing for something you know, big. And, you know, you can feel how much the city is just, you know, starving for it. You can see with the fans. I mean, it's been way too long, obviously, but yeah, it, it, you have to be about winning.
Amen, Kyle.
I appreciate
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
I appreciate him so much more. The older he gets, you know, look, he's never been a media guy. He's never been a good media guy. And I don't mean that in a negative way towards him. It's not like, I just think he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. You know, we were talking about Cal Raleigh. You know, we had the little exchange, and, you know, he had that really good night, which we took credit for because
we had the exchange when we interviewed him.
No, I'm talking about when we texted each other. We had
I thought you were talking about when we were talking to him.
Well, that was kind of an exchange, what we had. We asked questions. He answered them.
Sort of.
But, you know, he was, look, he, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it, he's not here to do media interviews, you know, and I feel like, hey, look, we'll try to get whatever we can out of him. I think Kyle has been kind of resistant. And, you know, I think he's maybe gotten burned a couple times. And so,
you know, he doesn't do a ton. I mean, he'll do some of the post game things on the field with Jen and people like that, but you don't really see many interviews with him.
But he's highly respected. And he's also, as we can see, very chatty.
Yeah,
because he talks to
players on the field.
Yeah, I mean, every time they show him, he's talking to either the third base umpire or he's talking to guys that are running past him or whatever. So, but yeah, I appreciate him for saying that. I mean, that's. I think they're at that point. At least I hope they are.
And him saying flat out, hey, you know, you got to play for something other than a rebuild. And you got to play for something. You got to go for it here. And he talked about the fans. He's 1,000% right. I couldn't disagree with a word of what he said there. He is absolutely on the money. All right. Mariners knew they were going to win yesterday. They knew it for 2 months, and you'll hear why. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up today, 4 o'clock, John Clayton will talk some NFL with us. Paul Calvisi from the he covers the Cardinals, will join us to talk about some of the drama going on out there with Chandler Jones.
And I'm loving it.
Daniel Kramer will join us at 5:30. We will get deeper into what's going on with the Mariners and some of the rumors out there that they're connected to this guy or that guy. So we'll get into all of that coming up. But we touched on this to open the show because I couldn't wait, Lefko. I couldn't wait. I was so excited. I love when there are people, especially when it's somebody who's in opposition to the Mariners, and they're talking, or any of my favorite teams, and they're talking smack, and then they've got to wear it. They go out there and just lay an egg, or as you like to say, Dave, cake their pants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Cole Irvin did. That's what Cole Irvin of these Oakland A's did after, you know, really pretty much insulting in this team. He got lit up for 10 hits back in May. And for those just tuning in, here's what he had to say after that game.
Really, a team like that, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of weak contact and some swings that, you know, ended up being hits. But I think at the end of the day, just pitch execution needs to be a lot better. And a team like that should not be putting up 10 hits against me or anyone. I mean, I'm extremely disappointed in my efforts tonight.
Wow, could he be more condescending?
What
I mean,
dope.
A team like that, I mean, a lot of them were soft hits, and they shouldn't be doing that against me or anybody. I mean, he acted like he played a little league team, like he just got beaten by a bunch of 13-year-olds.
Yeah, he just sounded like, again, he has a punchable voice.
Yeah.
It was back in May, it was May 25th, and so, yeah, he gave up 10 hits and 4 earned runs and basically did the same thing the other day, yesterday, I mean, with, what, 5 hits and 4 earned runs. But
and gets knocked out after 4 innings, which was delightful. They lose the game. Here's Tom Murphy talking about they treated him like they would a pitcher like that.
Honestly, we don't even remember facing him. Like, yeah, I mean, we came in today just like he was every other pitcher, and, you know, we treated him just like we would a pitcher like that.
And then Kyle Seager.
Perfectly said.
Kyle Seager playing dumb, going, I don't even remember facing the guy.
Kyle, did you guys discuss Irvin's comments that he made after the last time you guys got 10 hits off of him and some of the things he said about you post-game?
What happened? I'm sorry?
Did you guys discuss any of the comments as a team that Cole Irvin had about you saying that he should never give up 10 hits to a team like you guys? Did you guys talk about that at all?
The pitcher said that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know we'd faced him before. So, yeah, no, that's fine.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say he's not being completely honest.
No.
These guys are hyper aware of everybody they face, and they could tell you what they threw well. This guy's curveball is this. This guy's changeup is his cutter is like this. The idea that they're just oblivious to who this guy in our division on the team that we play all the time. Nah, did we face him before?
Me and Danny's favorite, I know back, this is from 2017, I think, Jalen Ramsey, who I really like. It's too bad he plays for the Rams. But somebody was talking noise about him, and he was asked a similar, you know, question in that way. And Jalen Ramsey just goes, who?
Yeah.
Like that. And we used to play that over and over and over because it was just the way he said it was such contempt.
Yeah.
It's like, who in the world are you even talking about?
Yeah.
So I thought they played that really well. But the funniest thing was Murphy. Can we hear that one more time? Because I thought it was really well put.
Here's Murphy.
Honestly, we don't even remember facing him. We came in today just like he was every other pitcher. And, you know, we treated him just like we would a pitcher like that.
We treated him like we would a pitcher like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he meant to put those words together, but I thought it was hilarious.
It's great. He got what he deserved. I think it's okay to think that, obviously. You think whatever you want. Verbalizing it is a mistake. It's a mistake. And I get who the Mariners are offensively. They're still not a great offensive team. And in May, they were less of a great offensive team. You know, they were, you know, this is one of the worst offenses in baseball when we started the year, talking about, man, they just thank God for this bullpen. And if not for them, where would this team be? They can't hit. It's all true. So him thinking, man, how do I give up 10 hits to that offense? There's no excuse for it. That makes sense. But when you verbalize it and then you pile it on with, there's a lot of soft hits, and they really shouldn't do that to me or really anybody. I mean, it's so condescending. And for you to say that about a division rival, a team you play as often as you do, the Mariners, this is not you playing an interleague game against a team you see once every year or every couple years.
Yeah, you know you're going to face them.
Yeah, it just you sitting there going, really? You really want to say that? So, yeah, I think they were geared up, and Lefko was showing me something that J.P. Crawford had put out on his Instagram, that they had the quotes and a picture of him. Everybody was well aware of who he is and what he had said. And I just love that he got knocked out after four innings. They lost the game. And then, like I said, I trolled him on Twitter. You know, I tagged him in it and just said, oh, no, how did you only last four innings against a team like the Mariners? That's a real mystery. And then we're up to 43 retweets on that. So he's going to see it. He's only got like 6,000 followers. So it's going to make its way into his notifications, and he'll see it. So feel free to retweet it if you're on Twitter. At Bob Stelton, you can find it. It's got we've picked up, you know, a good 12 retweets since we came on the air. I just want to make sure he sees it. See if he'll respond.
He's a University of Oregon guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It makes it even more unlikable.
If you're a Husky fan, yeah.
The Cougs don't like Oregon either, do they?
I don't know.
Does anybody like Oregon?
Nobody likes Oregon, I don't think. No. Maybe Jen in Beaverton. Actually, she's in Beaverton.
No, she's a Coug.
She's going to be a is she a Coug? I think she's in Oregon State Territory.
But she's all about the Cougs.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's funny. You could see that it was kind of a stream, or you could hear it was kind of a stream of consciousness coming out of his mouth there. It was kind of like, you know, what Jim used to do, speaking of Jim, that, you know, just like an ongoing narrative of how he's
it would just
thinking.
Come out.
Yeah. And so it was Danny used to say, you know, those gumball machines where it goes through the spiral and then it's going to come out the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a thought coming out of Jim's brain.
So there's no stopping it. It's on its way.
Yeah. It's on its way, and it's going to hit bottom. And yeah, it seemed like he was that way because I don't know. I remember it was pretty cautious. There was one time where it was when I left here and went to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said, hey, there was some guys that were playing really hard, but our defense was great. And there were some guys that were playing really hard, but there was quite a few that weren't or something like that. And I got put up on the bulletin board, but I didn't care because I didn't like the offensive line. I told you I love Andy Heck now.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, but I didn't like him back then. I didn't like that offensive line.
You're lucky there's no social media then.
I tried to leave Big Ray out of it. Because Big Ray was a rookie.
Yeah.
Because Big Ray was, you know, he just stumbled into, you know, he was a high draft choice, and, you know, he's a rookie. You don't.
Yeah.
And he actually probably played the best on that offensive line. But, yeah, so I got myself in a little bit of trouble there, but I didn't care.
Right.
I kind of knew that would come back. This guy, it was almost like he didn't even think that somebody might, especially considering they're in the same division and that they're going to play.
Just
Although I was talking about the Seahawks, and
yeah, you were in the same division
twice.
but that's a 16 game season at the time. You're talking about 162, and you're playing double digit games against this
right,
team. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just a dumb comment. Really condescending, though. He doubled down on it throughout that comment. It wasn't just that was taken out of context. No. You doubled down on it and tried to qualify a bunch of soft hits, and they shouldn't do that to me or really anybody. Like, this team shouldn't be hitting against anybody. So I'm glad he had to wear it, and I've really enjoyed trolling him. And hopefully when he checks his Twitter account, he's going to see all the retweets. We're up to 50 now. So at Bob Stelton on Twitter, retweet it so that Mr. Irvin can see that karma's come back to bite him a bit. That was a lot of fun yesterday.
You know what his nickname is, according to Pro Baseball Reference?
Is it Swervin'?
Swervin' Irvin.
Because that's his Twitter handle, Swervin' Irvin 19. See,
I bet he trolled
just for that.
I bet you he made that up himself.
He probably did.
Like T-Bone.
T-Bone.
I want to be called T-Bone.
No, you're Coco. That's it. Yeah. Swervin' Irvin is who I tagged. Yeah, he probably did give it to himself. He should be trolled just
Clown.
For that. All right. Coming up with NFL training camps opening, which team has the most drama right now? There's a lot of it going on. We'll talk about it next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.